Exodus 33 and verse 18. Here is Moses literally saying, God, give me the totality of your personality. I want to see the whole of you. I want to see the weightiest part of you. Now, the word glory means weight. That means he wants to know the weightiest, the full thing about God. He wants to have a rounded knowledge about who God is. So he says, and I beseech thee, show me thy glory. But God replied in verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Hallelujah. So in trying to know the grandest thing about God, God says, I will make my goodness to pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show my mercy on whom I will show mercy. God still hasn't shown up. Let's go on. Verse 20. And he said, thou canst see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. Because if you see the face of God, you're going to pass out. So God says, you know what? I'm just going to let you see my back. I'm going to cover you in the cleft of a rock. Look at the next verse. He says, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by. See, the glory there, all right, in the New Testament, glory usually is used to refer to the post-resurrection effect. But you see, in this particular context, he talks about the weightiest thing about God. He says, show me your glory. It's like a husband telling a wife, say, see, show me what you got. I want to see everything. So it's like saying, God, I want to see. It's like literally saying, I want to see your nakedness. I want to see what you got. I want to see all about you. Tell me everything about you. You don't know everything about you. That's what Moses is saying. He says, show me your glory. I want to see you. He now says, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand. I told you, God is not some monster up there. Stop thinking like God got no shape. Mm-mm. Listen, if you are confused about how God looks, just look at me. He got hand. He said, I'm going to cover you with my hand. I will make you see my back. So God has a trunk. He's not some amorphous creature. He's not a wind. He's not smoke. He's a personality. And Jesus has come to show us how God looks. He got two nostrils. Yeah, I said so. Nobody has seen God. Shut the trap. I've seen him in Jesus. And if you're confused, like I said, look at me. Listen, if you want to see God every Sunday, just come to church. And once you see me mount the pulpit, just look at God. Because I'm the image of God. And what is image in physics? Image simply means, in physics, it means a mirror reflection of an object. So if I am the image of God, it means, hey, God got two legs, he got two hands, he got two nostrils, two eyes, one mouth, one nose. He says, I'm going to cover you in the cleft of the rock with my hands. Look at it. While I pass by, and I will take away my hand. He got hand. And thou shalt see my back part. Hey. And my face. He got face. I told you. He's not octopus. But my face shall not be seen. Oh. Verse 24. And the Lord said unto Moses, heal the two stones of that unto the first. Now write upon these stones the word that were in the first tablet which thou breakest. You know what happened here, right? He was given the Ten Commandments. He has broken out of anger. He came back from the mount and he found them. They were already doing some stupid things. He was out of anger, broke it. So he went back to the presence and God now is about to give him new commandment. And the Lord said unto Moses, heal the two stones of the stones upon first. Now write upon these tables the words that were first tables which thou breakest. Verse 2. And be ready in the morning, and come upon the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor earth feed therefore that mount. Verse 4, and he healed two stones like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, went up unto the Mount Sinai, and as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone, and the Lord descended. Now, don't forget, in the previous chapter we read in verse 18, I told you, the Bible was not written in chapter, right? Here Moses was saying, show me your glory. Now God has come down now. I told you, it's like, show me what you're good. I want to see everything. Tell me who you are. Tell me what you're made of. Tell me the stuff you're made of. Tell me what is the grandest thing. Actually, the word glory there, all right, means glory. Doxa. Weight. It's like the weightiest thing about God. And God is about to tell him now. He says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6. And he says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. Someone say the Lord. The Lord God. Merciful. Someone say merciful. This is the weightiest thing. Listen, if you want to know God in the apex, in the zenith of who he is, you will see him with the lens of his mercifulness. He is merciful and gracious. Oh, I love it. A seed. That's the word in Hebrew. It's a seed, H-E-S-E-D. It means God's loving kindness, all right, in heart pursuit of you to do you good and make you happy. He says, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. That means, oh boy, he's patient. And he's abundant in goodness and truth. You see, if your revelation about who God is does not feature all of these, you still haven't known God. And that's exactly what Jesus came to show. Jesus was brutal to the Pharisees. He was brutal to all them legalistic guys. But Jesus was kind to the sinners. Come on. They even abused him. How come you eating with the publicans? He is merciful. Oh, glory to God forevermore. I say, glory to God forevermore. Come on, I say, glory to God forevermore. He says, look at verse 7. Oh, he says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. These are the truths you need to know about him. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Now, you see, this would take a whole lot of explanation, but this is not the teaching for today. And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. He has visited your sin on Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what it means. Just get that. That's simple. Because I would take another 1 or 2 hours to explain from chapters to chapters of other passages. But this is something I want you to learn this morning. That song is what instigated this Bible verse. This is not what I want to share. Merciful, gracious. You remember how even when they were faced with difficulty in the book of 2 Chronicles, they only cried, the Lord is merciful, gracious. His mercies endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And what happened? The Bible says all those people that were ganged up against them, they helped themselves to fight themselves. And when they got there, they found corpses, dead bodies. Say after me, say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. And that's why we gather. Each time we gather this way, it is part of his mercy program. See, it's part of his mercifulness that he has orchestrated a gathering like this so that we can drink into one another in the spirit. You see, there is a goodness that comes when we gather like this. Our gathering is a supernatural gathering. Look at Hebrews 10. Let me show you something. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. The faith that we have professed, the Christian faith that we have professed, let us hold it fast. For he is faithful that has promised. Then verse 24, it tells us, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. There is only provoking that we are permitted to in Christendom is unto love, unto good works. Then in verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. You see, so God is saying, listen, don't forsake the gathering of yourself together as the manner of some people is. So forsaking the gathering of the saints is bad mannerisms. And it's a grievous sin in the New Testament. You know, a lot of people have no idea why we gather. They have no idea the importance of church. They thought it's just for social gathering. It's more than that. Listen, the reason why we gather is because primarily there is something about us as a corporate body that is supernatural. Look at the book of Matthew 16. Let me show you something. Matthew 16 from verse 13. Matthew 16 from verse 13, he says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He's asking his disciples. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ. That means the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah. Simon bar Jonah. Bar means son. Jonah means John. Says God. He says, you are blessed, Simon the son of John. His surname is John. For flesh and blood means human being, natural observation, has not revealed this to you. That means this revelation did not come to you by natural observation. This revelation came to you from my Father. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter. Now the word Peter there is Petros. It means a rock. A tiny rock you see, but under it is a big rock. Have you ever had a situation where you see a small stone and you will try to kick it, only for you to realize that it is not actually small? It is big down there. That's Petros. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gate of Hades, wait a minute, the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will build my ecclesia. Now, listen, you have to understand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying the gate of Hades, talking about grave, will not prevail against it. But wait a minute. He was the only one that died. And the gate of Hades did not prevail against him, because on the third day, he overcame the grave. True? Yes, now, in referring to that incident, he calls it church. Come on. That means Jesus died as a single human being, but he arose as the church. That's why in John 12, 24, he said a corn of wheat, except it dies, it abides alone. But when it dies into the furrows of the ground, it will bring forth harvest of many fruits. That means you and I, we are the offspring of his death. We are the product of his resurrection. So he died as a single Jesus, but he arose as the church. It is therefore accrued to our account that when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him, because he did it for us and as us. And when he arose as the church. It therefore means that the reason why we are gathered today called church, our relationship is supernatural. It cost Jesus his life. Our relationship was secured by his death. Come on. Therefore, our relationship is supernatural. People say things like, well, blood is thicker than water. Agreed. Guess what? Spirit is stronger than blood. We are bound by spirit. Come on. We have drunk together into one another. That's why I tell you, listen, Jesus also shows us in scripture, he gives us examples of how superlatively he takes supernatural relationship above natural relationship. Now, this is a hard truth you have to know. That the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you is stronger than the relationship you have with your blood and brothers at home. Except and only if those your blood brothers and sisters are also born again. Listen, because all it took your parents to give you the relationship you have with your siblings, all it took your parents to give you the relationship you have with your family, is daddy and mommy just enjoying themselves. You are a product of pleasure. They were just kissing and pecking, and by the grace of God, a few weeks from now, I'm going to start doing that too. Glory to God. Oh yeah, focus. Focus, let's get back to the word. All right, it's fine. Pastor is getting married by God's grace soon. All right, so daddy and mommy were just kissing, you know, touching, having pleasure, you know. I love you, baby. All right, they were just, you know, giving themselves on every side. And then you came. Come on. So you are a product of pleasure. But guess what? That means the relationship between you and your brother, your blood brother, your parents actually were having pleasure. That's what gave birth to that relationship. But the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you, someone has to die. So our relationship cost God the death of his son. So when a Christian does not take spiritual or supernatural relationship seriously, such Christians are oblivious of the importance of such relationship. And you see, God has designed supernatural relationship as a vehicle to make you become all that he has planned for you here on earth. Listen, everything is all about relationship. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Relationship lost. A relationship was presented to them. They rejected it. Like I told you that the Bible is just like, you know, a low-budget movie. It's like God put these guys in the garden. Just imagine. Now they sinned. And God goes there to put cherubims with flame of fire and sword on the entrance. So the entire story from Exodus down to Matthew was all about how mankind will get back to that garden. See, by the way, garden, the Eden. Eden means pleasure. Enjoyment. And the only way man would get back to that garden was to come under that sword. But there was a perfect man who came under that sword for you and I. We are back to the garden. Pleasure. So getting us back into the presence. Because when I talk about pleasure, I'm not talking about somebody taking NSC. NSC, oh, come on, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Holy Ghost pleasure. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about, listen, I know party like the Holy Ghost party, cause Holy Ghost party don't stop. You hearing me? So that's the pleasure. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. So now we are in the presence. Oh boy, do you know why when we are worshiping, some people just go crying? You know, one of the things I'm praying for is I just pray. Thank God we're going to be having children church, because I can't imagine my children beside me during worship, because they're going to say, why is daddy crying? Hey, it's a love affair. Don't you see when we're worshiping, you know, some people will just, they are just caught up in that ecstasy and then they collapse. They fall down at the power. You don't know what is happening. They are in love with the Father. And you know, they just, oh, like they're just in love with the Father. Oh, glory to God. It's a love affair. So what is between us is so strong. Let me give you an instance. Let me show you something. Turn in your Bibles, everybody. I'm going to show you something about what I'm talking about. In the book of Luke 11:27. Luke 11:27. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Look at this powerful scenario. It came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. I mean, Jesus was there. He was teaching powerfully. And a certain woman just stood up and says, ah, this guy, God go bless your mama. That's what is happening here. I mean, Jesus was, and then somebody stood up and said, Kai, God go bless your mama. We born you. Ah. You know all those Lagos? Babao. Ah. Adafu, yeah. Ah. Your papa, car, your papa. That's what happened there. As in the woman, look at it. I'm not making this thing up, am I? Because you guys are just laughing at me. Look at it. And it came to pass as he spake these things, he was teaching. A certain woman of the company lifted up, as in she shouted like Agbero boys, like, you know, Oluomo boys, like, bless is the woman that bear thee. God go bless the breast where you suck. That's it. Now look at it. Maybe you don't like King James English. The word paps. And the paps which thou art sucked. Just to make Jesus' head swell. Maybe she was fascinated by the teaching that Jesus was doing. Maybe she was fascinated. Like, wow. This guy is now teacher of God's word. God go bless the mama we born you. God go bless the breast the way you suck. But look at Jesus' response. Look at it. Verse 28. Okay, BB says, and it came to pass that when he said to these things, a certain woman among the people said in a loud voice, happy is the body which gave you birth and the breast from which you took milk. Now look at verse 28. Go back to my King James. Now look at Jesus' response. Can we all read verse 28 together? 3, 2, go. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. Do you understand? In English language, when you use the word rather, do you understand the use of the word rather? It's a comparative word. You're trying to say, okay, yeah. But rather. In other words, this commentator, while Jesus was teaching, was trying to say, wow, this is the grandest way for me to theologize Jesus. By saying, blessed be the woman we born you and the breast that you suck. But Jesus says, yeah, blessed is the woman that gave birth to me. But rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That means, listen, Jesus helps us see the superlative superiority of spiritual relationship above natural relationship. That means the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you is stronger than the relationship between you and your blood and your blood brother and blood sister, except and only if those your blood brother and blood sisters are also born again. As a matter of fact, listen, your first response, the reason why you should even be more strong in your relationship with your siblings is first because they are born again. Come on. Even in marriage, it sounds funny, but it's the truth. I was telling my fiance, I said, even after marriage, I'll still be calling you my sister. Because she's like my sister now. You don't get it. All right. But the point now, focus. You like that one. Focus. Now, that means that, listen, the relationship that is between me and you, cost Jesus is dead. That is stronger. In fact, this should even be the reason why if you have any family member that is not born again, you should go all out to get the gospel through them. Let me give you another scene so that you know that this thing, I didn't make this thing up. Look at Mark 3 and verse 31. Mark 3 and verse 31. So a lot of people have no idea about what we're talking about. That's why they jettison the importance of church gathering. Listen, when you come to church, you are not coming to church because of the pastor. When you come to church, you're not coming to church to cheer me up. Are you kidding me? Cheer me on? You're kidding. When you come to church, you're coming to church first for your sake. Secondly, for the sake of the person next to you. If you don't come to church, number one sin you have committed is you are selfish. And I will show you that in second service. Because listen, it has been designed by God that nobody is altogether complete. This is the wisdom of God. That there is something you lack that the other person will supply. Therefore, if you are not participating in church, somebody is lacking what God has uniquely put in you for their own benefit. Therefore, you are selfish, wicked, and bad. And is that serious? A lot of people can't see the importance of what I'm saying. Don't worry, children's church is starting soon. Just let him be. Amen. A lot of people think that church is just, that's why we don't do a one-man show. Do you know what your problem is? Why you don't take church seriously? Because you have not been made to see that you matter in church. You matter. And look at what it says. There came then his brethren. All right. How many of you know Jesus had brethren? In the book of Mark 6 from verse 3 to 4. Jesus had Joseph, Judah. All right. All these people saying Holy Mary. Holy Mary what? Virgin Mary. She didn't remain virgin after Jesus. Uncle Joseph had 4 more boys and many daughters. And it's very possible because they were teenagers when they got married. So he had 4 brothers, 4 boys. And many, the Bible says, and many sisters. We don't know. It could be 6. Or a football team. So Mary did not remain a virgin. Don't think when you get to heaven you will say Holy Mary, worship Virgin Mary. She can't claim to be virgin. She can't be virgin any more than my grandma is a virgin. And by the way, Mary is in heaven today because she believed in Jesus, not because she's the mother of Jesus. Mother qua waiting. Praise God forevermore. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, King James English, that means they were outside of the auditorium. Imagine as I'm teaching now, then my mom, younger ones, they are outside. Then they sent someone calling him, look at it, 32. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, pastor, your mom and your younger ones are outside, they are waiting for you. When are they teach God's word? Look at what Jesus said. And he answered them saying, who is my mother or my brethren? Look at it. And he looked around about people he was teaching that sat about him and said, behold, my brother and my brethren. Jesus again shows us the superiority of spiritual relationship above natural relationship, except and only if those natural relationships also have a supernatural plug into the faith. Are you learning anything at all? Because a lot of people have no idea how important the church is. And it's so sad. Too sad. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let me show you one scripture, then we close. Psalms 133. Psalms 133. It says, behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. You know, Aaron was a priest that went down to the skirt of his garment. I told you, All right, those people saying, well, all right, you know, ladies wearing trousers. I think we'll be teaching one of these again. I think we've done it before. We'll do it again. So that you can understand that we preach modesty, not style. All right? There's nothing wrong with a lady wearing trousers. If you were a female engineer, will you climb the pole with skirts? I see funny things. You know, somebody on social media, there's this Nigerian compulsory one-year service we do in Africa. Those listening to me outside the country, in Nigeria, just like in the U.S. when you join the military for 1 year. Not sure if they're sitting in the U.S. anymore. All right, in Nigeria, after your first degree, you have to serve the nation for 1 year. They call it NYC. It's a scheme. They call it National Youth Service Corps program. And so you are supposed to dress like a corps. Like you are a corps member. I know the meaning of corps. It's not, it means you are a military man. Because the military are the ones training you. They are training you on resilience. You do endurance trek. So that in case, you know, if there's maybe fire outbreak somewhere, because you've been trained during that camp, you've learned, you know, like for instance, when I was in primary school, secondary school, beg your pardon, when we were made prefect, they had to take us to C school. They call it Citizenship and Leadership Training School, where they train you. They call them man-o-war. The idea is to train you to be resilient. And, you know, of course, their dressing will be military-like. You know, I saw something on Facebook, a lady, all right, who goes to use the same material to sew skirts. If I was the commandant of that camp, I would evict her from the camp. It's the same reason why, you know, some people are, you know, did you see that funny lawyer that's, you know, wearing, if you're studying law, let me see your hands here, studying law. Okay. I pray that the dignity of law in Nigeria will be restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Because of religion, we have such a very respected profession. And that guy, you may doubt, you may want to question his attitude, but you cannot question the logic of what he did. What is the logic? He believes that if the highest court of a nation can overrule a lady wearing hijab to school, then there's nothing wrong if he also dresses anyhow he likes as a traditionalist. Listen, we'll do a teaching on this again some other time. Wear nice hair. All right? It is your covering as a lady. Look good. Someone say, Bible says that not of wearing of. Shut up. Do you read your Bible? 2 Peter 3 verse 4. It says, let it not be the wearing of earrings, nice hair, and apparel. Why did you remove apparel? Kukuma walk naked. You have to understand the context. He says, but let it be. In other words, he's saying, don't let your focus be on the outside beauty, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, which before God is what? A great prize. That's what he's saying. Don't take a scripture out of context. If I have the money, I'll buy all the ladies in this house bow straight hair. Amen. And I'm going to do it someday. Have you seen where Oprah Winfrey just in her show? She said, you got a car, you got a car, you got a car, you got a car, you got a car. Everybody got a car. One day I just woke up under the anointing. I'll say, you got a bow straight, you got a bow straight, you got a bow straight, you got a bow straight. Everybody got a bow straight hair. And I will order it for all the ladies. If you like, say, no, pastor, it's a sin. Okay, okay. Oh, why, oh. Praise God forevermore. It's like the ointment that falls upon the head of Aaron down to his breast, even to his kids. Then verse 3 tells us something powerful. It says, as the dew of Ammon, and as the dew that descended upon the mount of Zion, for there God commanded what? The blessing, even what? Life forevermore. It's a feast of eternal life when we gather. We are eternal beings. And we are having the nicest time of our life. We are eating the head of our life in the spirit. Anjayu Riwa. When we gather like this. So you're missing out. Do you know one of the most amazing things in the New Testament? One of the grandest ways to punish any Christian that misbehaves is to excommunicate them from the church. There was a young guy in the church in Corinth. He was dating his dad's girlfriend. His own stupidity is on a higher level. How can you be dating your stepmom? And he was bold about it in the church. And guess what happened? What punishment would Paul give to the guy? Excommunication. In fact, he says, let not even eat with him that he might be ashamed. Try it now. You excommunicate them, you go to another church. Or he will say, I will live stream. Why? Because our generation has been so dull of the importance of gathering. That's why during COVID-19, thank God those of you that were here, we're having church all time. Let me be honest with you. There will never be a time when physical gathering will stop till Jesus comes. Satan can't do it. Didn't you see all the forecasts they had? Oh, God has made the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Didn't you see all their forecasts during the COVID? They said there will never be gathering again. Never. They haven't seen anything yet. Bishop Oedipo is building over 100,000 capacity. They haven't seen anything yet. Who yet gather? Unto him shall the garden of the saints be until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is the nickname for Jesus. It means the man of rest. That's the meaning of Shiloh. The man of Sabbath. Until he comes, we will keep gathering. I said we will keep gathering. Amen. So he says, that's why Jesus, all right, the spirit of Jesus, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, he says, you do not forsake the gathering of the saints as the manner. So Jesus, God knew there are some, you know, have you seen parents who have children and they are warning the firstborn? Don't be like that one. No. It is still their child, though. Yoruba will say, there is omogidi and there is omolangidi. Do you know langidi in Yoruba? It means, those of you that are in the 20s, were born in the 20s, you will know what I'm talking about. But those days when we were small, what you call toys, baby toys those days, it used to be black. Black baby toys. You know black, you see the baby toy would do like this, with all the... Toys are fine now. Teddy bear, there's nothing like that those days. So go to Kingsway. Baby Kingsway, that's what they call them. See the high will come out. Say, that's toy. That's what they call omolangidi. So as children those days, we'll wrap them in our parents' wrapper. And then we'll carry them. I have a baby too. This is my wife. We're small then. So Yoruba will say there's omogidi. That's original child. And there's omolangidi. But they are all omo. They are all children. So God has many children. There are some, they play church truancy like they are drinking water. They can wake up in the morning and say, I'm tired. I'm not coming to church today. They are still God's children. God has many children. God is merciful. Only God could be God. You get what I'm saying? But don't be like those. That's what God is saying. And God is warning you against them. Wow. So all these people who assume that just being born again was enough, you are wrong. Being a child is not enough. Be a good child of God. Let me end with this. You know, there is this illustration I have used before. Imagine if your child comes back from school. And he keeps telling you every day, saying, my friend in school, referring to his teacher. All right. The teacher is good to her or to him, as the case may be. Calling the teacher my friend. But the question is, would the teacher go about telling other people too, I have a friend? So it's possible that God is so good to you that you say, ah, he's my friend. But is God calling you his own friend? I mean, God called Abraham my friend. Did you get what I'm saying? Can God speak about you as his friend? Jesus says, stop calling me Lord, 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 when you do not what I say to do. Because the lordship of Jesus is the lordship of his word. So he says, do not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So, church, in fact, someone say, well, I'll read my Bible and I'll just pray and I'll have church. You are kidding. The word church is from the word ecclesia, ek and lysia. Ek means the called out ones. Lysia means a gathering. So there is no church without a gathering. You can't have church alone at home. That's not church. That's devotion, morning devotion. Because nobody is supplying anything to you. Listen, maybe you don't understand. I pray God opens your eyes. When we lift our hands like this in spirit, and we pray in tongues, or we hold our hands and pray that way, there is supply. Oh, it's like electricity when you join wires to wires. There is supply, there's flow. Listen, there are some things you are fighting with, some bad habits that if you get into the right relationship, they will die natural death. You can't overemphasize the importance of church in your life. We cannot. And you cannot jettison it as well. Praise God forevermore. I say, praise God forevermore. Say after me, say, I'm a good child of God. Say it again, say, I'm a good child of God. Say one more time, say, I'm a good child of God. So don't forget what we're saying. Church is so important. And in second service, I will talk about how to be a good child of God in the church. Look out for the next person. The person that sat next before beside you today. Next Sunday when you come to church and you don't see them, you should ask. That's what it means to be a good child of God. You're coming to church, you should bother about your neighbor who claims to be Christian and does not go to church. You should invite them, you should anakazo them, drag them to church. Take church as your own indeed, because it is your own indeed. And this church thing we're talking about cost somebody his life, Jesus. That's why the most important institution to God on earth is the church. That's why marriage only represents what is between Jesus and the church. Those two institutions, church and marriage, they are holy to God. One is a shadow of the other. That is why you see that's the greatest thing Satan attacks. I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, up till late night. Ladies in America right now, they just want to have kids. I don't do those shit. Me cooking for somebody, you know, we can litigate. Nah. You see, the culture has reposed. Their culture scape, their worldview is satanic. Imagine Jesus just waking up and say, church, body of Christ. No, I'm the head. The body is somewhere. But the Bible says Jesus is the head, we are the body. Have you ever woke up one morning and says, your head says, see, guy, I beg, you they go to school, they go. Carry me, they go. You are together, the body and the head, they are together. Don't miss out on God's blessing. He says, for dear, God commands what? There's a blessing for gathering. Oh, lift your hands and speak in tongues right now. It's part of the blessing. Drinking together into the spirit. Come on, let's do it for a minute. Oh, come on. Dig it. Somebody is taking their healing. Somebody is taking their financial supply. That's how we take it in the spirit. That's how we do it. That's how we fellowship. Mando rodokoto sikaya badekete. Ha ha ha. Mando rodokoto sufrekite. Oh, pangli mendo, sufratekite lebeledos kilabahas. Oh, somebody with migraine is being healed right now. Mangolotofa aptu sufrekite lebede. Supernatural supply of the Spirit meeting every supernatural and spiritual need is being met right now. Mange angolomonte. Oh, thank you, Lord. Pantustofrosute prekite. You manano no si anana ni ana. Eh manana no si taya de ada. You are not alone. Oh, you are not alone. Oh, you are not alone. Eche kumana no cheta, cheta. I am God. I never change. Cheta, cheta. Ah.